good to be in the house of the Lord. So, Dan knew he wasn't going to be here because there's, I don't know if anybody said yet where he is, but we have the encounter ministry that happens. We have different encounters going on throughout the year. And there's been a lot of prayer going up that God would give us a facility so we don't have to drive over an hour to Lake Placid. And it's a lot involved with that. And so we've been praying, and God has provided a location and made a way for the ministry to be able to purchase a really nice place. So you all would have been invited, but if we all went over there, then somebody would have showed up here that didn't know we weren't having church, and it would have not been good. So that's where Dan is, as well as Vicky, and I think that's all from our church. But anyway, so that's where he is, and let's just pray. I just want to ask the Lord to be with me as I share tonight. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word, Lord, and I pray that something that is said will touch someone's heart, and it will be just what they need to hear, Lord, for greater freedom and peace in their lives, Lord. In your name I pray, amen. So when Dan knew he wasn't going to be here, he said to me in passing, well, I'm going to have to find someone to speak. And he said, maybe you want to. And I said, I'll think about it. In my mind, I thought, no way, I'm not going to do that. So anyway, I was on my way in the car somewhere, and a certain song came on my phone, and I knew I had to share. So that was it. I kind of got tricked into that by God. And then I told Dan, and he said, oh, I was actually just kidding, because I figured you wouldn't do it. So then I told me that then, anyway. So there's a topic that I am very familiar with, and that's why I feel qualified to share a testimony on it, because it's been a big part of my life, in not a good way. And so it's the topic of fear. And so I'm kind of, if I had to give a title to this testimony, it would be, I should open up my notes and see what I gave the title here. Overcoming, becoming an overcomer, actually. There's more than overcoming fear, but that's a big thing. So I would say, if you want to turn in your Bibles to Genesis 3, looking to see what time it is. I have no idea if this is going to take 10 minutes or 40. I have no idea, so I'll just go for it. Genesis 3, well, actually, in verse 2, the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. So I think we're all pretty familiar with that story in the Garden of Eden. So then in chapter 3, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, and she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees in the garden. Then Lord called to Adam and said, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat? And the man said, the woman you gave me to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I ate. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. So it kind of goes on there of some of the consequences of their sin. And but what I want to lift out of this is that it all started in the garden. that there was perfect fellowship. Adam and Eve had perfect fellowship. We all tend to think, oh, if I had a better upbringing, if I had all my needs met, then I wouldn't sin. I wouldn't be tempted to sin. But they had it all. But God gave us a choice, and they chose to sin. But I believe what happened was where God told them not to eat from that tree. All the other trees you could eat, but there is that one tree he said don't eat. And Satan convinced Eve that God wasn't looking out for her. And he misrepresented God's heart. He said, well, why is he telling you? He's holding something back from you. There's a reason that he doesn't want you to eat from that. You're going to be wise. You'll be as wise, you know, as God, and he doesn't want that. So he sowed a distrust for God's heart in her, and she took the bait, literally, and ate it and disobeyed. And so then we hear the story then. Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed Satan. And so anyway, I'm going to do a little drawing. If I knew someone who was an artist, I would have them do this, but I'm going to go for it. So, here we go. Oops, that one's dried out. I'll try another one here. There we go. Okay. This is a. I'm going to label my drawings. This is a baby. So, all of us, we agree, were born and we were babies. Now, that baby is kind of like Adam and Eve in the garden. I mean, the needs are all met, and it's, you know, it's a baby. And anyway, there's also that those parents that we'll just pretend I drew a picture of them over there, they have some plans and some hopes and dreams for that baby. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, you don't have a child just to have him lay him on in a crib and think he's going to stay there the rest of his life, right? You want him to have a future. I spelled that one wrong. Okay, so there's the plans of maybe the parents, and then as the baby grows up, he has some plans. We have plans for our lives, and God also, God's plans too. God's plans, his destiny, all that. Okay, here's the person all grown up, and this is what God sees. And then, so there's some things that we all have, dreams in our hearts. So in the middle of, from the baby to the coming into the fulfillment of that destiny, ultimate destiny, the purpose why that person's created, there's some things that happen along the way. I'm just going to use only one thing right now that can be a hindrance in us reaching our destiny and our purpose in our lives. So I would like some participation from all of you, and we are going to name out some fears, things that keep us from reaching our, you know, that hold us back. Okay, say, let's give an example. Maybe this person, can you think of, let's see, a thing that might be their ultimate destiny, God's plan for them. Well, anybody have a, for instance?
Fear of success.
Okay, maybe they're supposed to be, let's not pick like a ministry thing. Let's just say they're supposed to...
Cure for cancer?
Yeah, that's possible. Cure for cancer. Okay, they're going to, they're going to discover the cure for cancer. Okay. Cancer cure. All right. So they're in school and, you know, they have a rough time. Maybe they have dyslexia or they have something that's holding them back. So they're going to have some fears of maybe success, but also failure, right? I don't think I can make it through college. But I'm not spelling that right. Sometimes, you know, I think a big thing that I personally have dealt with is fear of failure. I would add making mistakes, because kind of that's the little failures, right? Sometimes it's not the big ones that get us all tripped up. It's the little ones. It's like, well, I don't even want to do that because someone's going to laugh at me or whatever. But then sometimes we're afraid of success because, well, what people are going to think I'm better than they are. So I'm not going to try to aspire. Maybe God wants you to be a successful business person, right? But if you become a successful business person in business, maybe you have a generous heart and you want to be able to give and bless and help provide employment and giving into the kingdom and all that. But then all your relatives are going to think, oh yeah, they're successful and they don't relate to me and they're jealous. So, you know, you'd have all that. Anything else we can be afraid of? I'll write a couple, and if you think of any others, how about letting people down, disappointing people in our lives? So it's better not to make any promises, because then we don't have to worry about letting someone down. Not being good enough, being as good as somebody else. So if you think of any, just call them out. And what else? Fear of not having enough, maybe? Okay. Money. Right. Not enough.
Maybe their idea for business is not good. Well, you already said not good enough.
Mm-hmm. But
that somebody thinks it's stupid.
Yeah. Right, they don't agree with your gold, or the people aren't going to support me or encourage me. Acceptance. Okay. People might not encourage or support. They might laugh at me or rejection. Good. Things that might, okay, might cost us some relationships or sacrifice that we might have to make. Any others you can think of? How about losing our health? Has anybody ever been afraid of that? I have. I'll put it over here. Losing health. Safety, losing safety in some way in our lives.
What about losing friends? Like, you're going to discover the cure for cancer, but then you have a social life and then you have to give it up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. How about appearing weak in some way? It may not relate to that, but I mean, it can. Appearing weak to somebody in some way, we don't want to.
Vulnerability.
Right, a weak or vulnerable.
What about the fear of standing up and talking to somebody? I mean, I'm pretty sure that this people
is. Yeah.
You might have to make a speech, and that's not
enough. All right, fear of public speaking. Bingo. Yes, I think I've got that. Oh, when you're public speaking? Yeah. What else? Let's see. Feel of making, looking foolish. How about being judged? I think that was one. Fear of being rejection. It's going to be laughed at. Judged. Okay, I think we've got a lot. I'm just going to wind it down. Oh, being a burden to others. Have you ever felt bad about that? It's like, oh, they're just being my friend because they feel sorry for me. We're afraid to put somebody out and ask for help sometimes if we need it, because we don't want to be a burden. Well, there's all more. I'm sure there's more we could put on there, but for now, let's stop with that. And we're going to have some scriptures that we're going to read. Psalms 139, I think I gave that one to Michelle. Kind of goes with it, God's plan. So, go ahead.
Watch me as I was being formed in my mother's womb.
find out before a single day had passed.
So there, God says that he planned our lives. Before we even were born, he already has a plan. So
we're talking about fear, and fear can be more than just a fleeting fear that kind of, well, like anybody could be afraid if all of a sudden, you know, a horse runs in front of your car. I mean, that's a normal human emotion. But the kind of fear I'm talking about is more of a stronghold of fear. When fear has a stronghold on us and it consumes our life to some degree. And I had a lot of these and a few more. Some of my bigger fears when I was a young mom was fear of something happening to my child, or, you know, things that I couldn't control, and keeping them safe. And then I also had a lot of fears of my health. I had to stop reading that magazine. I don't even know if they have it anymore, but Guidepost, because there was a lot of stories of tragedies that happened to people, and God always, you know, helped them through it. But I had to stop reading that because it would just, my mind would just, oh no, what if that happens to me? You know, what if that happens to somebody I care about? And it was just, there was a vulnerability there. And anyway, one time I was really afraid, and some of you may have heard this story. I shared it maybe a long time ago, but if you happen to hear it, bear with me. That our son was, I think he was 18, and he wanted to get a motorcycle. And I did not want him to get a motorcycle. And it was one of those fast ones. And I told my husband, I said, don't let him get a motorcycle. And he did. And boy, I was not very happy about that. And I just, when he would leave the house with his motorcycle, I had no peace until he returned. It was very paralyzing and tormenting. You know how it is. It's like an ambulance. You hear an ambulance going. Okay, well then he's had an accident. You know, I visualized the whole thing. It was terrible. I mean, tormenting fear. So one day I asked some ladies to pray with me. We were going to pray with somebody else, and they canceled. And I said, well, I need it, so let's pray. And I was able to, in the prayer session, see Jesus, see my son on the motorcycle. I said, yep, there he is. He's on that motorcycle. And said, okay, well, where is Jesus? And Jesus was sitting right behind him on the motorcycle with his hand over the throttle, over his hands. And it was like Jesus said, Jesus didn't have to say, he's going to be okay, I'm going to be with him. But what the Lord spoke to me in that time that really did change me in a lot of ways, it just gave me something that I didn't have before. He said, I want you to stop being a worrier and be a warrior. So it's normal to have some fear. I mean, it's life. We don't have control over things. Bad things do happen to good people. I can't guarantee nothing bad's. Jesus didn't say nothing bad was going to ever happen to me. He just said, be a warrior. And so I realized that I needed to change instead of just worry all the time. That's right now, I'm going to pray for my son's safety. I'm going to pray for the peace of God to fill my heart. God, meet me where I'm at and admit, you know, yeah, I'm afraid, Lord. I need your help. So there's the verse. Oh, I think I might have the first verse. I think I didn't give that one away. All right. Here's 1 John 4 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Didn't I know that, right? But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. I realized then, and I still do, that when I'm afraid and I am gripped by fear, I am not trusting God's love for me. That God loved my son more than I do. And if something happened, he was going to be with us. He's going to carry us through whatever. Because it, you know, fear just springs up in a lot of different ways. That's just one example. So, anyway. We're going to read a couple more verses. Who has the paper that has the number 2 at the top in red? Okay, Allison?
2 Timothy 1, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and intimidation, but power, love, and a sound mind.
Okay, so if God didn't give it to us, it's not from God. So, you know, the good, you know, our enemy, the devil, is probably just feeding those natural things, and we've allowed an open door somewhere in our life. You know, it could have come in when we were a child, you know, some insecurity or some fear. You know, I know when I was young, my parents were in a bad motorcycle accident, and that could have been where that motorcycle fear came, and my mom almost lost her leg. I mean, she was in the hospital for 8 weeks. So there was like a thing there. You know, I don't know that I always, God doesn't always show us where it all started, but there is often a root. So let's do number 3. Who has that? Oh, Mabel? Good. So how many times when we're worried about something, it's not even about that day? You notice, like, fear of not having enough money? Usually we have enough money for that day, but it's tomorrow we're worried about. It's, you know, we're worried about things that may or may not ever happen. Okay. We have an enemy, like the Garden of Eden, and our enemy is Satan. So let's read verse 5. Who has 5? Okay, so there, that's just showing us that we don't have the spirit of fear. God wants to have a very close relationship with us. He wants us, you know, we should be able to climb up in his lap when we're afraid. We don't have to say, I'm not afraid, but what do we do when we are? Go to him. So number 6, okay, Bob, thank you. Yes, Satan is our enemy. And, you know, he doesn't play fair either. It's often when we're, you know, like for instance, when we're a child, that he takes advantage of us in some ways and plants fears, you know, or when we're sick or, you know, we've lost our best friend or we've gone through a divorce. I mean, he kicks you when you're down, and that's when he says, oh, yeah, this is, you deserve this. I mean, then he'll just, like, lies. He'll just start telling lies, and it all makes a lot of sense. And it just is a downward spiral sometimes. Okay, who has 7? So a lot of times we think, well, nobody's ever faced the temptation I'm going through. But Mike just read there that there's no temptation that we have that somebody else hasn't gone through. And if we even just look in the Bible days, look at Job, there's very few people I know that have been through what he's been through. And you know, we all probably know somebody that's had things that have worse than what we've gone through. But when we're going through it, there's a real big temptation, you know, to get in the middle of it and think we're the only ones. So verse with 8 on it, who has that?
A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. The shoes put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all the times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere.
Thank you. That was a long passage, but I thought it was really good that a lot of... some people don't believe that there is such thing as spiritual warfare, or some people don't believe in the devil. It's like, whatever, but whether we believe in it or not, I believe it's true. And just like God has a plan for us, so does the devil. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. I don't have the reference for that verse, but he's got a plan to kill us, to destroy our, you know, family or our dreams or whatever it is. Hey, Renee, come on in. So good to have you. So he has a plan too, and it's not a good plan. So that's where that's why we need the armor, because we're in a battle, and putting on that helmet of salvation. And when he tells us, well, you're not even saved. I mean, you just messed up. I mean, if you'd be, you know how he just knows exactly where we're weak, and a lot of times that's because of the words that come out of our mouth. You can't read our minds, but we do say things that it's like, well, I'll just never overcome that bad habit. So then he knows how we think because of our sometimes our agreeing with the negative. Okay, and then also, you know, in this life, there's hard things that we go through. We can't deny that. We can't avoid that we're going to face hard times. But basically, if we can keep our hearts towards God and not distrust his love for us like Eve did, somehow she didn't trust that God loved her enough to give her the very best. And I have a little bit of my testimony was that Dan and I met in Bible school, and you know I was raised by my parents. They were good, but my dad was not a Christian growing up. And I decided I'm going to marry a Christian. I'm going to do everything right. I mean, I think about now how proudful I was. I'm going to do everything right, and then I'm going to have a great life. So I thought if I married a Christian, and of course we met in Bible school and all that, that my life will just be great. So anyway, we were in the ministry pretty much from the beginning of our marriage. And about 15 years into it, we were pastoring a church, and just some very difficult things happened in the church, and it was there was some battles going on in the church, and just a lot of stuff happening in people's lives and in the church, a lot of disunity and fighting and a lot of stuff. Anyway, we ended up resigning, and I just felt like, you know, I don't really care to do that again. I don't think I really cut out for this. To be in ministry, and I kind of blamed God. I blamed myself too for some of my mistakes. But I said, God, why did you, you know, we moved from another state, and you know it was a big step for us to go where we did, and it just didn't turn out well at all. So one day I went up for prayer at a church that we were attending, and I told this woman that was praying with me, I said, you know, I'm just having a hard time trusting God, you know, with my future, with our future. And I'm holding a back. I don't want to trust him again, because what if he breaks my heart again? You know, he just lets me down. And this person said something that I never forgot. She said, you know, you're running away from the very one you should be running towards. And I thought, oh, wow. that God's got his arms open, but he's not going to chase after us usually. I mean, there are times when he does, but he's waiting for us, and it's all about what's going on in our hearts. I couldn't run towards his open arms because I didn't think he loved. If he would have loved me, he wouldn't have let that bad thing happen to me. So that was my childish, fearful way of thinking. So there's a verse that someone has, like 9, that's got a verse about it. Do you have it, Carol? So, good, yes, Proverbs 18, the Lord, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it. So he wants us to run towards him. He wants to minister to our fears and our hurts and our disappointments. And you know, one thing I've learned through that, the tough times, is it's not all about me and my little perfect life. He might want to minister through my brokenness and my disappointment. How can I ever relate to anybody who's never been through anything that didn't have that little perfect life? Yeah? So it's through those brokenness, that brokenness, you know. And my dad went through, he was an alcoholic, and it's helped me to relate to other people with addictions. And, you know, other people that go to classes and ministries that are codependent, because I had that in me, you know, through having a dad that had addictions. I had some addictions too, of different pleasing people, and you know, there's different kinds of addictions. So anyway, when we don't understand things that happen to us in life, it does reveal if we trust God's heart for us, because it hurts. I mean, we're in pain, but in this world, we're going to have suffering. We're going to have tribulation. But God hurts when we hurt. One time my daughter was in school, and a girl was telling her about, you know, her parents had gone through a divorce and all these things that had happened to her. And she said she couldn't trust God. God would let these things hurt, you know, hurt her. And she said, God's weeping for you. God didn't make these things happen. You know, people have a free will. Life is just, you know, horrible sometimes. And we don't have all the answers. But God wants to be there for us. So the verse with the number 10 on it. Who has that?
Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. It says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. But just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts.
So, you know, I think with that verse, it's so good, because I don't think we're going to understand a lot of things that happen to us in our lives. But, you know, there's been a few. One thing happened after we went through that yucky, you know, church situation. A mother told me, whose son was a pastor's kid, and they had gone through a bad situation. She said, you know what your son said to my son? He said, I understand what you're going through. And I don't remember what word of encouragement or what he said, but he could relate. And I thought, wow, that was a ministry to somebody else that had been through something similar. And it made me to feel as though, you know, God sees the big picture. We don't. He knows why. And maybe we won't know on this earth. Maybe in heaven we'll meet somebody and they'll say, thank you for ministering to me when I was down. And anyway, how about 11, verse with the 11 on it? So God's doing something in our lives. He's taking, you know, like we're like a diamond in the rough, and we've got a lot of rough edges, and we aren't really beautiful, but he is making us something beautiful. And I really believe that. I've watched different believers that have gone through a lot of suffering and hardship. And when I see the way they respond. I mean, they're not, nobody's perfect. But when I see the way they respond and the way they've come through what they're going through, it's beautiful. And I remember this one man that was, you've probably seen him or heard of him. I don't even know his name. But he was born with no arms and no legs. And he shares how he was very depressed and his parents were missionaries and he had no clue why God allowed him to be born like that. But it shows him jumping into a pool. And during when he does that, he, I don't know how he swam with no arms and no legs, but he did. He came, he went down and he came up, and there was a song that came on, and I was just like, it was like, if he can do it, you know, he came through his depression. And I, at that time, I was going through a lot of depression and trying to understand why and just be mad at God. You know, I didn't understand and I didn't like it, what the things that God had allowed in my life. And I thought, man, I've got arms and legs, you know? I mean, and I'm having a big pity party right now. So it was just... anyway, verse 12, with the 12 at the top. You see it? Oh, yeah.
Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has a great power and produces wonderful results.
So I have found a lot of healing in my life through prayer ministry, prayer counseling, just going to somebody who I trust and just be real and just say, I need prayer. I need help. I remember during those years of depression, our children were pretty young still. And I remember thinking, well, if I didn't have kids and I didn't have a husband, well, I figured he could probably find another wife. But I had my kids and I thought, I can't crawl in a hole and shrivel up. I mean, what's that going to do to their lives, you know? I can't do that. But I just remember, you know, just like, I think I got on a little bunny trail. But anyway, what was the, confessing our faults one to another. You know, there is that battle we talked about that we have to fight it in a good sense. We have to say, you know, one day after I'd come through much of my depression, there was still days. And I remember it was starting to come back, that cloud. I mean, it was there, and it was coming back, because that was the way I woke up most mornings. There it is. Oh, great. Got to get out of bed and go through the motions, and it was no fun. And it started to come back, and I remember just saying out loud, oh, no, I'm not taking it back. And I had to battle. I had to say, because that was my safe place. And I'm not saying that depression isn't sometimes chemical. It is, and we need to get whatever we need to do, you know, maybe we need a medication, whatever, to help to bring the balance in our bodies. But for me, I knew that there was a place in my heart where I could run and escape. And I escaped through depression. And I realized that I had a place to fight. I had to say, no, that will not define me. I'm not going to, because I had, you know, the enemy would say to me, and I would look at statistics, well, you know, your dad was an alcoholic and he drank because he was depressed, and so it runs in the family. So, you know, this is just who you are. This is just what you're going to deal with and just accept it. So I realize, though, that, you know, there is so much to learn. There's so much, if we press in, you know, I went to some overcomers classes. It's like a Christian Al-Anon or whatever, where you have people in your family with addictions. I learned so much about myself, some unhealthy patterns, you know, that I thought I just had to perform and go through the motions when I wasn't doing okay. And learning to have people I could trust and to open up. And so anyway, but what I want to say is don't give up on your dreams that God's given you. So God's given us dreams, and we've got to come through whatever we have to come through to come into that, because there was things that God had put in my heart, and, you know, really, it was none of these real these particular things. Probably mine was more, I want to be able to minister to women and to moms and just to, so there were, you know, they don't seem like really big and lofty, but in order for me to be able to do those things, I have to overcome some fears in my life. I have to find out what works. If it doesn't work, then I don't have anything to share with other people. But, you know, I have found, even through my mistakes, sharing that with people, that ministers to people. So don't feel like, oh, I've messed up too much. God uses everything. He does. So I think verse, the paper with 13 on it. Who has that? So I really believe that God has freedom for each of us. And, you know, the things that I was fearful of, you know, 15 years ago, my health and my children's safety, and I'm not saying I haven't ever dealt with that since then, but it hasn't controlled me. I was able to come to the place, see where I'd open doors, close the doors, the things, you know, and renounce and cast out, you know, those strongholds in my life and take back that ground I'd given over to the enemy. I conquered that level of fear, but now there's some new ones. There's, you know, there's new things to, you know, getting out of our comfort zone. If God tells us to do something and we're afraid to do it, we have to deal with that. And so one of the things was being in ministry again, and I really didn't want to do it. And so when they asked us to come here, my husband was like, not immediately, but he wanted to do it. And I just said, I have to be honest, you know, I don't want to do that, really. And the night we agreed to kind of do it, like on a trial basis, sort of for 3 months, we came over the summer. This has been a year and a half ago. And the night we agreed that we became installed as a pastor, the very song that you guys sang tonight, Let Us In, He's Never Gonna Let You Down. I mean, they wouldn't quit repeating that part. He's never gonna let me down. He is good. And I was just like weeping. I was like, I was confronting the lies I had believed, that God was not good, or he wouldn't have let those disappointments happen to us in the ministry. He let me down. I mean, I truly believe that. And I had to confront that night. And I was singing it over my life. I was coming into an agreement with the truth. And I had to confront the fact that I had believed God let me down. Instead of, I began to see that, okay, this was my little box, the way God was supposed to do it. It didn't turn out that way. So that's my conclusion. And I was confronting that thing in me that wanted to blame somebody. Got to blame somebody. And so I realized that, you know what, you know, maybe I made some mistakes, some other people made some mistakes. The devil is mean. He kicks us when we're down. He loves to sow discord among the brethren. He loves to tear up families, tear up churches, all that. He loves to do all that. So there's a devil and there's life, all those things. And I had to choose to stop believing that lie, that it was all God's fault. God, if he loved me, he would have protected me. And, you know, when we do encounters, there's people that have been through horrible things, rape. And if God would have loved me, he'd have protected me. But life is bad. Life is hard so many times. And so anyway, when God begins to set us free of the fear, then I believe, then we're, you know, we're starting to be able to come into the destiny that he has for us. And it's a journey. You know, it really is. We can't say, like, I don't have that anymore. I mean, I don't have any more fear. But it doesn't have to control us. We don't have to have a stronghold of fear in our lives. And we can be free to begin to move forward. So, anyway, that's pretty much it. But what I would like us to do, I want to do a. I want to pray a prayer of deliverance from freedom of fear and the stronghold of fear. And then I would like us to, anyone would like prayer for fear, to be set free of fear in their lives, to be free to pursue and to say yes to God, whatever it is, and say yes to your own dreams again, you know? I think a lot of times God's put a dream in our hearts. He's put desires there. And because of so many disappointments, we've given up on those desires. And we've stopped trying. And I'd like to have body ministry. I'm not going to have people come forward. I'm just going to have you raise your hand if you want prayer. And then people around can just lay hands and pray. And then so maybe let's just not have any music right now, because in case the worship team would like prayer. And then after the prayer time, then we're all going to sing the song that made me get up here at the end. You'll find out what that is in a minute. So could we just stand? And I'm just going to pray a prayer. And if you want to agree with that, you know, this prayer, as I'm praying it, just to be set free of the strongholds of fear in your life, whatever they are, you can just raise your hand and we'll just agree with that. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that your word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for these verses, Lord, that show us your heart for us. You don't want us to be bound up and chained in chains and bondages. You hate that because you created us. You created that precious little baby with so much potential and so much destiny. And now, many times we get stuck. We think we can't go on. There's no way. It's impossible. But Lord, you have more for each one of us, Lord. And right now, I just break off strongholds of fear off of our lives, Lord. Any fear, whether it's fear of failure, fear of success, any lies, I cancel in the name of Jesus. That lies that we've come into agreement that there's no way I can ever achieve what I want. There's no way that God really loves me anymore because I've messed up too many times. And I just cancel those lies. I pray, Lord, that you would reveal to us any lies that we're believing so that we can come into agreement with the truth about ourselves, Lord, that you have a destiny and a purpose and a plan and a hope and a future for us. And right now, I just declare hope over each life tonight. Thank you, God, that there is hope, there is destiny, there is deliverance. And Lord, what you showed me, the picture I saw for tonight, for your people that are here tonight, Lord, was that you were breaking chains off of people, Lord. And I thank you for that. Lord, we just break off any chains, any bondages, whatever it is, whether it's fear or lies or disappointments or whatever it is, Lord. Just thank you that you have the power. You set us free, Lord. You did the work on the cross. You took the keys back from the enemy, and you've given them to us, Lord. You've given us the authority to say, I am no longer bound in this area. I am free. And that we will begin to speak truth over ourselves, Lord. Come into agreement with truth, who you made us to be, Lord. That we are worthy because you've made us worthy, Father. And raise your hand if you would like prayer for, if you'd like people to gather around you. Just raise your hand. And so anybody who sees a hand up, just go to someone with their hand up and put your hand on them, because God's put authority in each of us. God's put that in us to break off chains of fear. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we just pray for these persons that have raised their hands, Lord, that they are going to be free, Lord. You know what the fear is, Lord. You know what's holding them back. And I just declare freedom and liberty and deliverance tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that depression has to go. Just that fear and anxiety has to go in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you have paid the price, Jesus, for our freedom in every area, God. And I thank you that you love, Lord, that we begin to believe the truth, Lord, that you love us in a way that we cannot even totally understand. But I pray right now that the hearts of each person here tonight, Lord, would be able to receive that love. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your ministry of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Setting us free, Lord. You have so much for us, Lord. And I pray, right, for that person right now that's saying, oh, I know God wants to do it for someone else, but not me. And that's a lie from the pit of hell right now, that you died for every person. If they were the only person in the world, you would have died to set them free and for their freedom, Lord. You paid a high price. You paid a price of your very life for our freedom. And I thank you, Lord. We want to believe, Lord. We want to really thank you that you had that love and you paid that price for us. So if the worship team wants to come up, we can sing. But just continue to pray for that person if they want you to, and just if you want to say to the person that's praying for you anything specific, that's fine. But if you don't, that's fine too. Did we read number 13, the verse? I think that we did. Okay, good. Then we did it all. So now here's the song. And when we sing the song, that's another thing I think I left out, that we can declare over our lives life. And we need to really listen to our words, because we all can do this. It's like, oh, I'll never be good at that. Or, you know, we just say it. We just think maybe we're being humble or something. I don't know. But it's really, we're really not declaring life and being positive. And we're that little baby. And we're not really speaking very well about that child that's maybe grown up. And we need to, you know, declare truth and life and come into agreement with God's plan and God's destiny over us. So let's all sing.